John chapter 19, please. John's Gospel, chapter 19. The 19th chapter of the Gospel of John. Hope you've got your Bibles. John chapter 19. The Lord Jesus, who was crucified outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem, made seven profound statements from the cross. We have considered in our previous messages five of those. The first was the word of forgiveness, which our Lord said to his enemies, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The second was the word of assurance to a dying thief, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The third was a word of comfort to the Lord's mother and the Apostle John, "Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." The fourth was the word of desolation, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" These words were spoken by the Savior to his Father. The fifth was the word of suffering, "I thirst." And this word was spoken that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Now today, as announced in the bulletin, we concern ourselves with the word of triumph. It is finished. Notice with me John 19, verse 28. John 19 and verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, or gave up the spirit. And God will bless to us what we have read from his word. I do not want to take the time this morning, but if we took the gospel records of this particular incident, we would find that these words the Lord actually shouted. He shouted, "It is finished." Can you imagine it? He shouted that triumphant cry after he had hung on the cross no less than 6 long hours. I think I'm on everybody's mailing list. I have tried to go through a month's worth of mail. Try it sometime. It's a task. I'm not through yet. But you know, there are many things up. There are many people who have various interpretations of the cross and its significance. Something recently crossed my desk, and it just renewed in me some thoughts. What does the Bible have to say? Many people are of the example or of the opinion that the Lord Jesus died as an example. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that an example never will and never has saved anyone. But you say, "Well, I can back that up with Scripture." And so you quote to me 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, and you say, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." And you stop there. That isn't the sense at all. You know what the next verse said? "Who did no sin." That's the example. You know what that proves to me? Not one of us needs an example. We need a Savior. Some people say that Christ died on Calvary so that people will be filled with pity. When people contemplate the Lord in his rising and in his agony, it'll break their hearts and they'll turn to him for repentance. But my Bible tells me that there were soldiers at that place, and they didn't care. They gambled. There were religious leaders there. They didn't have a wisp of pity in their hearts. They ridiculed. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus did not die on the cross to give some sort of exhibition so that we would touch a tender place in our hearts. Not at all. Let's never forget, when the Lord Jesus Christ shouted from the cross, "It is finished," he didn't say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." Now, there is a continuity between the previous cry. We read about it this morning in verse 28. The Lord Jesus said, I thirst. And shortly thereafter, he said, it is finished. You see, the scene doesn't change. The sky is still darkened and heavy and black. But I feel this morning that if I had been standing there that day, I would have felt the piercing nature of this statement. It is finished. I want you to know that when the Lord Jesus uttered this statement, he was in full possession of his faculties, in full possession of his powers. He was not being overcome with death, but rather he was entering into death as an overcomer. Now, in the time given to me this morning, I want to consider this expression made by the Savior. And then I understand that this expression in the original text in which our Bible was written is only one word. It is the word telestai. Furthermore, I believe that more than anything else, we will be able this morning to understand how every individual can be sure of his or her salvation. Is there anything more important in the world than to be sure of one's salvation? Is there anything more important in the world than to be sure that you're going to heaven? Is there anything more important in the world than to be sure you have been born again, that you're saved? But now just a few facts about this word translated in our Bibles. It is finished. Those who know the Greek language tell us that included in this statement, it is finished, are words something like this. It stands finished. It always will be finished. But having said that, there are various shades of meaning to these words that our Lord, or this word that our Lord spoke. And I believe they will have significant meaning to us all. Now, the way I propose to do this is I want to call three or four people up here on the platform this morning with me, and I believe we'll understand a little bit more what's involved in this tremendous word. It is finished. The first person we call up here this morning, and we say, who are you? Oh, he says, I'm a selected servant. That's just a nice word for a slave. Mr. Slave, do you know what is meant by that word, it is finished? Do you know what meaning it has? And he says, oh, certainly. I know that word very well. You see, that's the word that we use after I complete the job that has been assigned me to do. I'm a man who works for a master. My master says, go and clean the stable. I go and clean the stable. And when I am finished, I go back and I tell him, the job, it's finished. Now, I have completed the task which my master gave me to do. You see, whenever my master instructs me to do, I do it. And when it's completed, I say, it is finished. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, get this. When the Lord Jesus shouted from the cross, it is finished, he was saying, I, the servant, have finished the work which I came to do. If you've ever read the Gospel of Mark, you will find that the Gospel of Mark presents the Lord Jesus as the perfect servant. In fact, the key verse to Mark's Gospel is Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. Let me quote it to you. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, that means to be served, but to minister, in other words, to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Because of this, the Lord's people had a real difficulty, a real problem accepting him. They thought when he came into this world, he would be presented as Israel's king. Do you recall how he came? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. They expected a sovereign. But what did they get? A Savior. And that Savior came as a servant. But you see, if they'd only read the Old Testament of their Bibles, which they had, Isaiah predicted that. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be made very high. That's Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 13. And what follows is Isaiah chapter 53, where the Lord is exhibited as the servant. But again, the Apostle Paul also graphically describes our Lord Jesus as a servant. Let me quote it to you. Let this mind, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, now that just means he was God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and that again just means that he was God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 7. And as one traces the public ministry of the Lord Jesus during those 3.5 years, it was just one instance of service after another. You remember what the Lord Jesus said, for which is greater, he that dineth or he that sitteth at meat? And then he answers his own question. He says, he that dineth, but I am among you as one that serveth. And this blessed Lord Jesus, declaring as a servant that it is finished, and he accomplished what he came to do. How do I know? Listen to these words. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. John 17 and 4. You know, I don't know of anything that would make me feel better than if, when God removes me from this earth, if they could say of me, he finished the work he gave him to do. Don't look at my desk right now. There are many unfinished things. Here was the perfect servant. And he could say, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Let's call up someone else. We have a man come up on the platform this morning and he's dressed in robes. And I say, oh, I know who you are. You're one of the Old Testament priests. And he says, yes, I'm what you call a senior priest. And my main job is to offer sacrifices in the temple. Mr. Priest, do you know what this word means, it is finished? Oh, he says, we use that word down in the temple often. You see, he says, when an offerer brings a sacrifice, it is part of my job to examine that sacrifice. Now, if in our examination that sacrifice has a blemish, we cannot use it. But if we get a perfect animal and that we look it over and we find that there is no blemish, you know what we say? It is finished. It's perfect. And when the lovely Lord Jesus cried from the cross, it is finished, he was saying, the Lamb of God is perfect. I'm offering a perfect sacrifice. You know, every animal that was brought to those Old Testament altars was actually imperfect. Oh, legally, it may have been perfect, but spiritually it wasn't. You know why? Because it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin, Hebrews 10:4. You see, animal sacrifices could not take away sin. Animal blood only covered sin. Animal blood could never atone for sin. And of course, the animal sacrifice was involuntary. No animal ever went to the altar and said, here, chop my head off, you can take my blood. No! How different with the Lord Jesus. Let me give you his words. In burnt offerings and sacrifices thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Hebrews 10, 6 and 7. Our Lord offered himself voluntarily. He was never murdered. No man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command that I received from my Father, John 7, verse 18. The Lord Jesus did not die because he had no children. He died. But it is also well known to a senior priest. It is finished. The sacrifice is perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know this morning there is no other perfect sacrifice acceptable to God. Church going is of no consequence. Certainly baptism doesn't help, although I believe in it. I believe you should come to church. Partaking of the communion element, emblems, although that is proper for every Christian, that avails for nothing. You see, none of these sacrifices are good enough. The old hymn put it rightly when it said there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. We've talked to a selected servant. We've talked to a senior priest. Let's call someone else up here. Sir, what are you? Well, I see he has one of those little tams on, you know, those little black tams, and he's got a palette in his head. And I said, I know who you are. You're a skilled artist. And I said, sir, Mr. Artist, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. Have you ever heard this word, it is finished? And he says, oh, certainly. He says, it relates to the kind of work I'm involved in. I say, what do you mean? Explain it to me. Well, he said, you know, when I complete a picture and there's no more to be done, I say, it is finished because the picture is complete. When the Lord Jesus said, it is finished, he was saying, in effect, the picture is complete. Now, I don't know how this strikes you, but to me this is tremendously significant. You see, keep in mind that the Old Testament picture was not complete. Say, do you find things sometimes in the Old Testament rather difficult to interpret? Maybe you're smarter than I, but I do. I really have a rough time sometimes. You know, there were a lot of ceremonies that were carried on, which were given, which in the Old Testament we have very little explanation. There were prophecies in the Old Testament, which in the Old Testament writings were never fulfilled. In fact, if you only had the Old Testament scriptures before you, many of the types and shadows of the Old Testament would hardly make sense. But praise God, when the Lord Jesus came and died on the cross, he completed the picture. Remember the question that Isaac asked his father Abraham when they went to that mountain? Genesis chapter 22 and verse 7 says this. Isaac says to his father, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And do you know that question echoed down through the corridors of time for hundreds of years? Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? One day, John the Baptist stepped forward, and he saw the Lord Jesus. What did he say? Behold the Lamb! Look at him! Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And when the precious Lord Jesus hung on the cross, he shouted, it is finished! The picture was complete. He said, in effect, I'm the perfect Lamb dying for the sins of the world. Many of you have visited our home. We have a picture in our living room. It's a very ordinary picture. I think it cost $49, nothing spectacular, but I love it. The artist gives his idea of what he thought it looked like when those two people were on the road to Emmaus after the Lord's resurrection. I love to stand and look at that picture. But you know, in the picture, there's something unusual. These people were walking along and their hopes were shattered. But suddenly, there's a third party who enters. He's seemingly a stranger. And he says to them, and I'm paraphrasing Luke 24 right now, what are you talking about? And they say, do you mean you don't know what's been going on in these parts lately? And the Lord Jesus says, what things? And they tell him. They tell of the death of the Lord Jesus. You know what he says in effect? Oh, your problem is you haven't seen the whole picture yet. You know what the Bible tells us he did? And beginning at Moses and the prophets, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them the things in the scriptures concerning himself. You know what the Lord Jesus did? He took those little things in the parts of the Old Testament. He brought them all together. And he said, here's the picture. It's complete. You know how I know they understood? Because they knew that the Savior was talking about himself, and they recognized him. And then something happened. And it wasn't cured with Balak's or Tums or Rolades. You know what happened? They said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us by the way and opened unto us the scriptures? Spiritual heartburn. I heard a man say, the evidence of Bible study is not a big head, it's a burning heart. I like that. And our artist friend who is up here right now, he tells us this morning, oh, it is finished. It means to me the picture is completed. The selected servant says, it is finished. The work is finished. The senior priest says, it is finished. The sacrifice is perfect. The artist, the skilled artist says, it's finished. I now see the completed picture before me. But I'm going to call a fourth man up here this morning. I see him in a nice navy blue pinstripe suit. And I say, sir, may I guess what your occupation is? He says, certainly. And I say to him, I think you're a successful businessman. He says, you're right. And I say to him, sir, I'm wondering if you ever use this word in your business, it is finished. And he says, certainly I do. I use it every day. Why, when people buy goods from me, you know, they make a purchase. And I place the amount that they have purchased on a ledger card. And then I send out a bill at the end of the month. I guess it's a computer now. I'm going back to my days when I was in business. They put it on whatever they do with those newfangled computers. I can't understand them anyway. But they do it. They keep a record. And the businessman says, when I send out the bill, if they pay it by the 10th of the month, I place an entry on their account. And you know what I place down there? These words. It is finished. The debt's paid. May I give it a quick spiritual twist? I got to get to this. There's a song I love to sing. We may sing it this morning. I don't know. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Something recently came across my desk. May I just summarize it in about two or three sentences? This person said that when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he just made the down payment, and it's up to us to keep up the installments. Or in effect, he said, and then he went on to say, he said, and you don't dare miss an installment or it's curtains for you, brother. I don't read that in my Bible. No, sir. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he saw each one of us as sinners, deeply in debt, so deeply in debt that he declared us bankrupt. And you know what he did? He said that Don Pilon, he can't pay his debt, so I'm going to pay it for him. And I want you to know it thrills me right down to my shoes. When I learned that he paid a debt he did not owe for me. You know what happened? When I, by faith, received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, he did something. He wrote in his own blood, it is finished, the debt paid. Oh, I could shout to the sky. You know what it is? The best part of it all is that payment is absolutely complete. It's paid in full, and no one will ever bring that debt against me ever. Now, that's a poor sentence, but I understand. I hope you understand what I mean. We have a beautiful example of that. Let me quote the verse, and then I'll tell you about it. Philemon chapter 18, or verse 18 says this, if he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee anything, put that on my account. Now, this is what Paul wrote in a letter to his friend Philemon. Philemon had a servant, and apparently that servant, by the way, the servant's name was Onesimus, and that servant apparently had stolen from his master Philemon. And then after he had stolen, he took off and ran away, and as God would order it, Onesimus found himself in a Roman prison right next to the Apostle Paul, and Paul preached to him, and he got him saved. But Onesimus was going to be released from prison. And he was happy to go because he wanted to get out of prison. He was a saved man now, but he was scared to death of Philemon because he thought, boy, that Philemon's going to get me. And so Paul wrote this letter to Philemon. And he says, listen, if Onesimus hath wronged thee or oweth thee anything, just charge it to my account and I'll pay for it. And my friend, this in effect is what the Lord Jesus meant when he said, it is finished. I'll pay the debt in full. I don't know how you feel. Sometimes I feel so worthless. My testimony is so weak. And my devotion is so limited. You know what happens then? At those times, the Savior steps forward. He says, Father, if Don Filon owes you anything, I've already paid for it. I've already done it. So just put it to my account. Receive him in the way you've received me. Whew. That's good news. It is finished. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. The sacrifice is perfect. The picture is complete. The debt has been paid. But there's more. When the Lord Jesus shouted, it is finished, everything that man could do to him was finished. His sufferings were over. Everything that Satan could do to him was finished. Everything that God had to do regarding sin was finished. You see, ladies and gentlemen, heaped upon the blessed sufferer were our sins. I have sung on many occasions, all our sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him, and believing, I am free. But the greatest thing that was finished was this. Eternal redemption was finished. It was completed. You see, it's an eternal redemption. Never can be repeated, never has to be repeated. That's why the gospel message does not include any kind of ceremonies of re-crucifying Christ or anyone else for that matter. Nothing that anyone can do can be added to this because it's an eternal redemption. I want you to know this morning that the Lord Jesus did not merely die for sins, but he died for sinners. And that same lovely Lord Jesus was buried and he rose again. And that is the message of the gospel. And in that work which he accomplished on the cross, he made possible salvation for you and me. He has paid for our sins. But you've got to apply the payment to your own personal account. How do you do it? Let me tell you one verse. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do you call? Lord Jesus, you died for me. I now take you as my personal Savior. You're saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever called? Philip Bliss wrote these lovely words. Man of sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Oh, I doubt if we grasp all that is involved in the death of Christ. But this one thing we know, he finished the work. he came to do. And you know what that work was? To bring lost men and women back to God. You see, he finished creation. That's Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. And at the cross, he finished redemption. And therefore he could say, it is finished. The work he came to do, finished. The sacrifice for sin, perfect, finished. The picture complete, finished. The debt paid, finished. An old hymn we used to sing went something like this: nothing, neither great nor small, nothing, sinner, no. Jesus did it. Did it all. Long, long ago. Cast your deadly doing down, down at Jesus' feet. Stand in Him alone, gloriously complete. The chorus goes, it is finished. Yes, indeed. Finish every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? Shall we pray? Well, our heads are bowed. There may be someone here this morning and you finally found out that the Lord Jesus paid for your sins. You've never received him as your personal Savior, and you said, Mr. Pilon, I don't know how. Well, that's why we're here, because we want to help you. Maybe you just indicate your desire to be remembered in prayer. Maybe you'd like to talk to us. And if you have a desire, would you just lift your hand wherever you are? We'd like to help you. We'd like to show you how you can know from the Word of God that you're saved, that Christ paid the debt for you. Is there someone this morning that would like to do that? We'll only wait a minute. Is there someone? Father, we commend the issues of this service into thy hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn number 125.